superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Throws the fade. Back shoulder. Cooper Kupp's got it.
Here comes Donald, and he spins Burrow around and then tried to throw it away.
Rings for the Rams. A Lombardi trophy for Los Angeles.
I dreamed this, and it's like, it's surreal. Look at this. World champs, baby!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, Super Bowl champion quarterback Trent Dilfer, plus your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show post-Super Bowl 56 is on the air from Los Angeles, California. There is a new champion in the National Football League, and it is the Los Angeles Rams. And two members of their season ticket holders were very excited to celebrate the fact that they have got a Super Bowl team to make their tickets more valuable to sell on the secondary ticket market are Chris Brockman and a man who loves the Rams so much he actually left Super Bowl 56 prior to the game-winning drive last night to beat the traffic. Mike Del Tufo. Is there anything more Los Angeles than wearing a Rams hat on television after saying, you know what, I'm just going to leave now because I want to beat the traffic. Oh, my God.
I'm not going
to.
It's
welcome
the
to the Rich Eisen Show.
It's the Dodgers exit.
Hour two. So
I made up a new term. It's called the Dodgers exit.
No, it's a very Los Angeles
there's
thing to do.
There's a French exit. No, there's a Dodgers exit.
I don't blame you for wanting to, because the traffic in this town is bad enough. And the Super Bowl. And I know we made so much throughout the week that the Los Angeles area absorbed the Super Bowl. So many Super Bowl towns get transformed by the game, but LA is so large enough and vast enough that it absorbs it. But the traffic over the weekend got to be insane. You could tell there were a lot of people in this town that normally aren't here, and parties were everywhere, and traffic was everywhere, and it was insane. And I can imagine how bad it would be to get out of the game, you know, if you actually stuck around, because, you know, I did stay to the end, having a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old. And just to say, it was funny. Susie texted me during the game because you can't hear each other five seats away.
Right. It's loud.
So she texted me, are you okay? Because, you know, I woke up, I had a 3:30 a.m. wake up and all of that business, 8.5 hours of television. Right around mid third quarter, I hit a wall, man. And I guess I must have had that 1,000-yard stare. And so she texts me, are you okay? And she goes, do you want to leave? Thinking that maybe I'm like, I can't even, you know, stick it out. And Cooper, who's to my left, sees a text from mom say, do you want to leave? He lost his mind. He's like, leave. He looked at me, goes, that's what he said. He goes, leave. And then he leans over to Susie and he says, we're not leaving like that. Like, we're not leaving like that. And she kind of was like, I get it. Like, I'm just checking on your dad, you know, like. Del Tufo, though, was traveling solo, right? You were solo last night?
I was solo, and my guy that was coming to get me had to get another person. So I kind of, because I went last minute. So I wanted to get out quick.
Hey, Mike, look, just own your decision.
I mean, I've been to a million Super Bowls.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's only been 56, and he's 55, so I don't think
so. He's
that's
been all of
a
them.
Million.
He's been all of them. Don't you forget. He was at Super Bowl I.
I did the coin flip for Super Bowl I. It didn't work.
Yeah, the coin flip.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Now, man. Look at you with your hat on and everything.
I got my champion's hat. The hat is coming. Somebody got me one from the field.
But let's be totally straight honest, though, with everybody in our audience, because we're honest, right? We're honest? Okay. Let's be straight up honest with everybody here. You sold the tickets you had the right to actually buy at a higher market and got cheaper tickets.
I was going
right?
to work yesterday.
You actually got you made yesterday. A killing. You made a killing on Super
and
Bowl 56,
at the
right?
NFC Championship.
No, I know that.
He should be the one you're pointing the finger
no,
at.
No, he didn't. No.
What are you talking about? I didn't have Super Bowl tickets.
You didn't have Super Bowl tickets. He didn't. No. But he didn't have. I mean,
no,
he,
I had Super Bowl.
He doesn't.
Tickets.
He doesn't buy in at the rate the PSL at the rate like yeah, Mister. Exactly. I have a boat and Apple stock from 1955. As you know.
No, I mean it's.
And he's actually got a child now. Who came over to Cooper's birthday party on Saturday.
Man, I can't be taken off right. to go to Super
Bowl. But at any rate, congratulations, you two guys. Hey TJ Jefferson, how are you?
I'm here, man. TJ's
behind the velvet rope.
Hey, do you know who's on this show at this very time tomorrow? Is your head coach, Mike McCarthy. He's going to join us on this program. He is slated to join us.
Man, I've got so many questions.
I do, too.
Well, we're going to cut your mic off.
No. Let's take some phone calls. Trent Dilfer is going to join us in about 15 minutes time right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to Angel in Los Angeles. You're right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Angel?
Hey, Rich. I got to say, I just started listening to your show 2 weeks ago.
Hey.
Fantastic find.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know why I waited so long to listen to it.
You know what? I was going to ask you that question, but bottom line is better late than never.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can we ask Angel what show he was listening to before?
No. Why do you want
to
give
that to Rich Eisen?
No. I just want to kick dirt on them because they lost Angel to us, is all I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, this is out of spite, you're saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No doubt.
But you know what? Let's be above it.
Rich, I really shouldn't be listening to your show, and let me tell you why. I drove from Los Angeles to the draft when it was in Philadelphia, right? And I sat front row of the fan section, right?
Okay.
And this might be because you just didn't hear me. And you're walking about 2 feet from me, and I'm screaming, like, Rich. I'm a huge, NFL Network fan, NFL fan.
Okay.
And you look at me, give me kind of a half nod thing, you keep walking. I'm like, this Rich, I think that's a jerk. Then I find your podcast, I'm like, oh, he's delightful. Never mind. I'll watch his show from there.
So you think I shined you off?
Do you remember how that setup was? Like, the fans are right in the front.
Yes.
If you stand up for 8 hours, which I totally did.
You're behind, but you were not in the draft hall. You were in the open air part behind our set.
Yeah. Okay. I was right.
Oh, I remember you. I totally shined you off. No, I'm just kidding.
Anyways. Yes. In the Super Bowl, right, a bunch of legends that just got, the first ring, Stafford. Whitworth,
Right.
But where does Von Miller rank now with his second Super Bowl ring, two sacks in the Super Bowl? Where does he rank? I feel like he's getting
Hall of Fame.
Overshined.
He's Hall of Fame.
Where does he rank for you as far as all time?
Well, he's getting overshined because Aaron Donald is a Ram since drafting, and he just got here, Von Miller. And but he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's a. That's
like,
it. He's going to have it.
Like a top five.
Bottom line is, I don't know. I mean, let's see how much more he can do. I think he clearly has a lot left in the tank,
no one's talked about him. Like, I mean, obviously everyone's, Stafford, rightfully so, and Darnold. But why is Vaughn not getting the love? I feel like he's not getting the love.
Vaughn had his time.
I guess so. I don't know. Maybe he definitely got the love when it was Super Bowl 50. And thanks for the call, Angel. And let's hang out more. Let's hang out more, okay?
Absolutely not.
Don't forget about us, Angel.
Take care, Angel. Thank you. But Vaughn got that run in Super Bowl 50 because he was Denver's, right?
Yeah,
He was Elway's first draft choice.
Right.
And it was the number two pick.
And he got
a lot of
he got the MVP of a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning said adios to the NFL then. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
Vaughn's been given his flowers.
No,
I'm
saying is that Manning needed to do a little bit more than what he did, and he would have won the MVP of that Super Bowl no matter how many sacks Von Miller had come up with.
Right. Manning didn't do much. And
no, I know that. Well, as you know, towards the end of it, that's why he retired.
Yeah.
Like, it was the end of his run.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean.
Von Miller was a monster. Aaron Donald was a monster.
Well, Aaron Donald is the Rams monster. And it also may wind up that Aaron Donald's discussed amongst the ranks of Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White, when it is all said and done.
Just hold on a second.
No, I know that. I know we've got Overreaction Monday coming up in hour three. But when it's all said and done, he could wind up in that conversation. The question is, is it all said and done now anyway? And you could knock me over with a proverbial feather that when I started diving into Super Bowl 56 coverage when I got home, because again, I was on the air for 8.5 hours, and then at the stadium, I did not hear a lick of NBC's, sorry, Peacock, coverage. That Rodney Harrison had said on the pregame show that he'd spoken to Aaron Donald, who's thinking of retiring if they win the Super Bowl. And then I thought to myself, all right, let's see what Aaron Donald's got to say. And then Aaron Donald spoke about it and didn't dismiss it. He didn't, like, shoot it down. Here's what he had to say.
I'm just in a moment right now. I'm going to join this with my family. I got my kid. I promised my daughter this when she was 5 years old. They're playing the confetti. She got to do that today. Was that fun? So nice. I'm just in the moment right now. I'm enjoying this with my teammates, my family. I'm just going to be in the moment and enjoy this today. For a couple of days, how about that? It's a blessing.
And then his daughter standing there next to him with confetti in her hand. Like she, like he promised her to play in confetti. She gets to do it. And then she's at the podium with dad holding it. Like she won't give it up. She's just going to hang on to it. And I love that stuff. It gets you emotional when you see that. And, you know, I can't, you know, leaving that child to go to practice and all that stuff. And, you know, again, there's a human element to this thing that you have to factor in and not being around. But he's 30. Les Snead, after the game, said he had heard that and he said, quote unquote, "I'm not buying it," is what he said. Now, when I heard that, I took that to mean that he knows how much of a competitor Aaron Donald is, and he's not ready to walk away with. You can't even say he's got stuff left in the tank. He's got a Ferrari still, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's truly the best defensive player in the game today. Yeah. And that's knowing T.J. Watt won Defensive Player of the Year award, deservingly so, because of his circumstances and his story and the fact that this guy's already got three. He's called game. How many times has he called game this year for this team? We like just three? Off the top of our head, three, right? Against Arizona in the regular season. When they got, by the way, they needed that in order to leapfrog Arizona and get into the pole position against in the division that they eventually won. Against the Niners, he just went straight at Jimmy G when Cork this game was on
Jimmy,
the line, right?
Jimmy G, yeah.
And then last night in the Super Bowl. In addition to coming up with a sack to keep it a one-score game after momentum had clearly put on a tiger pattern, you know?
Didn't he hit Kyler in the end zone, too, to force that weird pick six in the first playoff game?
Was that him?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
I feel like it looked exactly like the Burrow playoff.
He also hit Burrow so hard on the sideline yesterday. I think that kind of woke everybody up too before the sack. Like it was kind of like, this is on, folks. Like this is now DEFCON 1. You know, you got to get the president on the horn. I'm using a War Games reference, everybody. I know it's old, but so am I, I guess.
Odell but, update, Rich.
Yeah.
Ian Rapoport saying, per source,
it's an ACL.
Believed to have torn his ACL.
Yeah. And so, I mean, long road to this is part of what happened last night too here. He's going off, two catches, 52 yards, and a score, and he's unguardable, and that changed the momentum. And Aaron Donald changed it right back. It took a while for Stafford and Kupp to cash it in. So here's what I hope. I hope it's just a guy who's just thinking about how long the year was. COVID can just mess with a whole bunch of people, as we know. I'm just hoping that he sticks around, because if he does walk away, that changes a huge dynamic of how good this team can be in a title defense. I mean, I know they might have a problem getting everyone under the cap, and him departing might help with that, but
Robert Woods please. Will be back too. You gotta remember.
No, dude, this guy is beyond. And Warren Sapp's in studio tomorrow, and I just want to hear him talk on it, because obviously he's played the position. He knows what Donald is and does, and he's 99 himself. But he is
the guy that doesn't show up on the stat sheet and changes everything. He's that guy.
Right, because he's getting double.
When A'shaun Robinson sacks somebody, just look at the film and see what happened.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that A'shaun Robinson can't sack somebody. I'm just using him as an example of somebody else who's not mentioned on that line. And Vaughn and Leonard Floyd can affect that too.
Yeah.
But if you have those guys there and you can game 99 into single blocking,
I don't think anyone would ever do that.
but it happens. Like, you can mess with the I mean, Kurt Warner was showing some great ecto footage on the 8.5 hours yesterday of how they can move people around, and you think they're going to do one thing, and all of a sudden your protection scheme winds up because of what games the Rams are playing with 99 having only one guy blocking him, and that's a problem.
Yeah, that's not good.
And they knew last night. It's fourth down. When they call a pass play, they knew one guy that you had to put more than one guy on. And he just bum rushed. I hope he doesn't retire. Just for the sake of the Rams. And also for our sake, watching a guy like this. This is, honestly, if he keeps going and he keeps doing this year after year after year, he wins another Defensive Player of the Year award, and he does get another ring, we are going to be talking about
Mount
him.
Rushmore.
Like, dude, we're talking to him about LT, and we're talking about Reggie White. You name any defensive player that you think is a GOAT, and this guy's in that mix, and he has that opportunity. And you could say if he does that right now, he's retired, but there's still arguments to be had, and I don't know if he cares about that sort of thing. It won't matter if he wants to be with his family. He thinks he's generationally wealthy enough, but there's another contract coming for him at some point, and it's going to come, and it's going to be insane. So hopefully he takes the time, but he did not give you the, you get out of here with that talk.
Yeah, he
like, gave you that conversation of like, stay tuned for my podcast with Jim Gray next week.
Or I'll come on the Rich Eisen show.
Well, that's the obvious.
Yeah, I mean. By the way, did you guys happen to see the Disneyland commercial?
I did not see that.
It's so amazing. It's Stafford.
Just hang on with commercials and halftimes and all that business, because we got Trent Dilfer we got to get to and more phone calls. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere, but I want to tell you about my friends at Callaway Rogue. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed-tuned to be the Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed off-center on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. It's so good. Brockman's like, when is it coming here so I can steal it?
Yep.
Most golfers will fit into the max because of its incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. But there's also Max D. They're dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. Now, if you need something with more low spin, there's Max LS. But for the true players out there, there's the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS, the compact low spin head that the tour players love. Callaway has gone through every aspect of speed. So all you have to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. More of your phone calls, but we're taking the phone call of Trent Dilfer when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So where'd you watch the game? You were at home?
Yeah, just at home. Just made some stuff on the grill. And
what'd you make?
I made some spicy barbecue wings. Ooh. Little Ceramade smash burgers and
what are those?
Buffalo chicken. Just like really thin hamburgers, kind of the smash, and you kind of just like make it all flat. They're delicious.
But they go fast though, right?
They go down smooth.
You go back, TJ. Go ahead. Yeah. TJ got some tea during the
buffalo chicken
break.
Dip. Let's see, what else do we have?
TJ's about to sip some tea, guys.
Sipping.
He's a tea sipper.
Probably because there's a lot of video now of James Harden at Sixers practice.
When does he start? When is he playing?
He's not going to play.
He's not coming back till after the All-Star break. He's
still rehabbing his hamstring.
Huh. Wait a minute.
But video with him in gear. And
who's got Harden in our league?
Jumpers up.
Who's got Harden in our league in which I'm almost in first place now?
He beat the bag out of me this week.
Dude, man. Who's got Harden?
I stomped a mud hole in.
I don't know who has Harden.
Somebody this week.
Who's got Harden? Am I going against? Oh, gosh, yes.
Who's got him?
Oh, the guy I'm going against. Our call screener, Adam.
Hey, Brockman, I noticed that Sarah posted a picture of like some football brownies.
Oh, yeah, she made these.
You happen to bring any in? I was going to like tell her to, you know, send one in with you.
I don't know why you didn't hit me up last night.
Man, I know.
I think they went to Cage's school.
Ooh, right. The kids get.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. You got to bring stuff for other kids.
That's right. Yeah, I never had a Valentine.
What are you talking about?
You were married.
Well, that's why he's not married anymore. If he considers his ex-wife never a Valentine.
Rich, I was at a very exclusive.
I'm just putting two and two together.
You guys are learning.
Sorry, TJ.
I said I was at a very exclusive Super Bowl party last night.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, is your house?
It was party of one.
No. Why wouldn't Ashton didn't invite you over?
He was going to his neighbor's house. I was like, okay. I can kick up my shoes.
Where was Demi last night? She wasn't watching the game?
I don't know, man. She actually was at the game.
Okay.
I think she went for the halftime show, and then apparently I saw her Instagram.
Wilmer didn't have anybody over?
He did. I just chose to stay home, man.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? Because I don't like a lot of talking during games. I like to be able to focus, rewind if I want to rewind, kind of study a play.
Should we have TJ's top five be his most famous friends? TJ's top five most famous friends? Because I just named three of them, right?
By the way, who's the number one spot?
Oh, it's Ashton. Come on now. Don't even put him in that position. Everybody else knows it, too.
Which
is why Wilmer didn't invite him over.
Is it?
I was it.
By the way, LeBron walked
past
me yesterday.
Now it's Drew Carey.
LeBron walked past me.
Oh, really?
He's gigantic.
Oh, good.
It's the first time I've seen him.
Great information.
Wow.
Super information.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's very big.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on our program. As I mentioned before, there's now 34 individuals on planet Earth, or used to be on planet Earth, there's ever walked the Earth, let's put it that way, who have won a Super Bowl at quarterback. This guy is one of them. He is the winner of Super Bowl 35, and I just love talking to him. And he joins us right now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line to hash up Super Bowl 56, the winner of Super Bowl 35, Trent Dilfer. How are you, Trent?
That was a lot of hair ago, Rich.
You and me both, sir.
22 years ago, I saw some pictures this week, some videos, and I was holding on for dear life for my hair.
You and me both, sir. You and me both.
Bad hair years.
You and me both, sir. There was the word of the day was Rogaine. You know, I haven't heard that word in a while, but that's the word that was the phrase that pays back in the day. Right then.
Amen.
You know, okay, so I will just say, what did you think of the game last night? What do you think of that?
My big takeaways, and we can get into this, Sean McVay with one of his greatest, one of the all-time greatest coaching performances, if you look at it year long, that I've seen. We can go into that. And then the game kind of summed up a lot how I thought it would unfold. Bengals could do hardly anything offensively. Really, their whole offense was two plays in the passing game, both kind of chuck and ducks, one that should have been called back, and a decently solid run game, but not much there in the passing game besides the two plays. Dominant defensive line performance by the Rams. And then really the big takeaway was the two best players on the field playing their best when it mattered the most, Kupp and Stafford. And I think that was really the sign-off, the drop-the-mic moment of the Super Bowl was Stafford, who had struggled from the interception in the end zone and his first five possessions in the second half, really until that drive where him and Kupp just kind of willed it, and McVay gave him the keys of the car, and they finished the deal.
6.5 minutes to go, needing 78 yards and a touchdown, and that's what they wound up doing, leaving some time left on the clock. But, you know, Kupp on that drive, the fourth and short run where the whole stadium had their – I mean, I was in that spot that the whole stadium held its collective breath on that one. And then, obviously, the throw to Kupp over the middle, over outstretched arms. What a dynamite dart by Stafford. And then the game winner. The drive itself, you mentioned about the McVay game plan for changing up. I mean, they had to change it up in the middle the minute that Odell went down, right? I mean, that changed everything, it seemed to me, in the game, Trent.
It really did. No, I thought it was a little overblown on the telecast that, you know, Stafford didn't have any weapons. He still had Cooper Kupp. You know, it wasn't like he was left out there naked. I think the Rams did a really good job, McVay, especially the play caller. Kevin O'Connell probably had something to do with this as well, is in between series when they were struggling, because they really struggled there for, I think it was 5 or 6 possessions in a row, trying to find a way, how do you call plays or move Kupp around so he's the primary on every play down the stretch. It's not as easy as you think. I think I went back. Here's what hit my brain. Nick Saban tells this great story. One of the greatest lessons he learned in football is when he was playing high school football and they won a championship and their best player got the ball in the biggest moment of the season. And his takeaway from that was players over plays. And you have to get your best player the ball in critical moments. And I can see, I bet you Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell have heard the same interview. And they're like, hey, down the stretch here, we have to find a way that Kupp touches the ball on almost every play. And to create some of that stuff on the sidelines, I bet you some of that stuff was not in the game plan. It wasn't like they had repped it during the week. It was probably stuff that they put in on the sideline and made adjustments. And then Stafford has the ability, the connection with Kupp to get him the ball in some really tight windows. I thought it was crazy how the game's won. I mean, you quarterback sneak it on first down from the 1.5, 1.25, and then you throw a fade. I mean, that's not a play sequence that you see very often. Quarterback sneak, fade. Like, that's, it's usually quarterback sneak, quarterback sneak, quarterback sneak, then fade on fourth down. So I just think McVay at some point, and I haven't talked to him, but at some point in that game, him and Kevin got on the phones, were just like, listen, this thing comes down to those two guys making plays, and we have to find a way to let them do it.
Trent Dilfer here on the Rich Eisen Show, Super Bowl 35 champion, Beyond the X's and O's podcast as well, to go inside this man's outstanding football brain right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What did you make of the officiating and the flags that came out at the very end after 58 minutes of hardly seeing one on the field?
You know, outside the egregious missed call on the long touchdown.
That was.
Besides that, I liked how it was officiated. They let them play. And then people are saying, well, why don't you let them play down the stretch? I mean, those were bad calls too. The one that they said there wasn't much there across the middle on Cup, the middle backer 55 holds him. You can see him hold his waist and pull him back. I mean, when there's an effort to hold the player from getting where he needs to get, I mean, that has to be called, especially in the tight red. And that's the other thing fans need to understand. The closer you get in the red zone, the closer the refs are to all these plays, so they have a better view of them. So I had no problem with the officiating outside of the one call, that the no call when Ramsey gets his face mask twist. I mean, fans are always going to complain about that stuff. I get it. Players do too. Coaches do. But at the end of the day, looking at it from a 60-minute game, I thought it was pretty well officiated.
Trent Dilfer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so how do you think Stafford's feeling this morning? What's that feeling like, Trent?
Obviously fulfilled. I tell people all the time, I think you can talk to most quarterbacks that win this game. It's more of a sense of relief. It's more fulfillment. You kind of expect it. I think every quarterback that wins it expects to win it. I think that's one of the things that, as I've talked to my peers about it, that, you know, you just convince yourself and your team that there is no other option but winning this game. So when it's over and you do it, you're just like, well, yeah, we expected to do it. It's not the elation that everybody thinks it is. It's more just satisfaction. You're usually really happy for your teammates more than yourself. And then, honestly, it doesn't take long before you're like, okay, next. That's how champions think, is no rearview mirror, appreciate the moment, and then move on to the next moment. And the next moments for the Rams are going to be challenging because of how they invested into this season and this particular game.
Yeah, I want to maybe hit that a little bit with you in a bit of a page turn in a second, but lingering on Stafford, a lot of folks in this past week saying that the next for him eventually, when it's all said and done, is Canton, Ohio now, because if he got the ring, now he does. Would you think that's the case?
I think so. I think he's deserving of it. I think people are sympathetic of his Detroit years, and yet he was still highly productive. I've always put Stafford in this category, a guy that was at his best when he needed to be at his best. Like, he was playing so many times from behind. He had so many of these heroic comebacks. Yes, he put his team in those positions sometime because he tried to do too much in Detroit, but he was always one of those top five guys you wanted the ball in his hand down four with 90 seconds to go. And he proved it. I mean, he did it in the playoffs, and it wasn't 90 seconds, but he did the final drive in the Super Bowl to win the game as well. That's kind of how he's wired. A lot of Favre in him. I've always felt that was the best comparison, where they might make some mistake, they might make you scratch your head sometimes, but you trust them when the game's on the line, and I think he is worthy. I think if you win a Super Bowl and you are highly productive, I'm obviously not putting myself in this category, but if you win a Super Bowl and you've been productive for a long period of time as a quarterback, you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, and he was handpicked the minute that he decided, along with his wife, to make that maneuver to go into the Lions front offices and say, I want out. He was, Les Snead and Sean McVay say, that's the guy. And then that's the guy that leads them to the podium. And I guess, now cycling back to the way you started about greatest coaching job year to year, post to post, wire to wire, that you've seen in a while from Sean McVay, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, let me put a bow on the Stafford thing because something hit my brain while you were talking.
Go for it.
There was a LeBron commercial in the midst of the Super Bowl, old LeBron with young LeBron on the bed, and old LeBron says something at the very end, to be legendary, you got to bet on yourself. And I think a lot of people probably just let it go by him. But then you watch Stafford shortly after that commercial win the Super Bowl. And it's exactly what LeBron said. I mean, in this commercial, Stafford bet on himself. He put all the chips on the table and said, I want to go win a Super Bowl, and I'm willing to take some chances here. And he did it. And I think that, you know, to your point, that's why he will be legendary and he'll be in the Hall one day. Hmm. The thing with McVay is this. You could argue it's one of the greatest, most challenging coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. And people are going to go, what? Well, think about it. Think what him and Les Snead have done. They completely mortgaged the future, supposedly. That's the narrative the NFL has put on them, for sacrificing draft picks to get players on their roster now to then go win the game. I mean, they were ridiculed by quote-unquote experts in league circles. It's not the Parcellian way. It's not the Belichickian way. It's not the 49ers way. It wasn't the Cowboys way. It's their way. And a lot of people, I mean, there was a very strong narrative when they were 7-4 headed into week 13 that this was the wrong thing to do, because not only are they not going to get to the Super Bowl this year, but they have no chance in years to come because they have no draft capital. And everybody in the NFL, everybody, all your friends, all my friends say the same thing. Oh, build for the future. Set it up for the future. Why? Why, when you have Aaron Rodgers, don't you mortgage the future to get him players now, or Tom Brady or Matthew Stafford? There are certain moments where you're like, we have a very short window here, and we got to do it now. And they did it. They took a huge chance. And it worked. And there's a lot of people around league circles this morning that are pissed that it worked, because their paradigm has been completely blown up. The Browns are set up forever with all this draft capital. Yep, they're sitting at home too. And they're probably going to be sitting at home next year. And they're probably going to be sitting at home the year after that with all this draft capital. So I think that for Sean McVay, you know, he took a lot of criticism for that. But the hardest thing is this, the personalities. The personalities in that locker room, OBJ, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, go on and on and on. And to get all these big personalities, all the star power to come together, and if I say this all the time, look at what they talked about when the game was over. They didn't talk about, oh, we had more talent. They talked about coming together, being selfless, cheering for one another, being happy for one another. Doing the hard little things day in and day out, the grind things, all the stuff that never gets talked about, but all the stuff that really matters. Sean McVay is the catalyst for all that. He's the one that brought them all together. He's the one that messaged it. He's the one that built the culture that OBJ can walk into as a supposedly disgruntled diva wide receiver and be everything but that. That is a massive, massive thing that really, really matters. And Sean McVay did it. And then you got to think about this. Go back to these coaches that won championships. Belichick, Parcells, Walsh, Jimmy Johnson. They didn't have the pressure of social media. They didn't have every single thing you do being blown up out there and, you know, 10x the drama to it because everybody's seen what's going on in your room. I mean, he's had to deal with a modern media machine and social media with all the negative narratives against how they're doing it, balancing all these personalities, being 7-4 leading into week 13, taking all the heat, and then guess what they do? They win 9 out of 10, and they didn't do it glamorously. They did it gritty. And I think it's one of the greatest coaching jobs we've ever seen.
Trent Dilfer here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more minutes left with him. All right, Trent, let's go now to the Bengals side of it. What next there? Just shore up in front, right? And just keep at it. The defense was terrific. Defense has been terrific. Defense is, you know, Trey Hendrickson is a guy that many people know. And then outside of that, nothing. You know, the weapons look to be set. Burrow looks to be next level. Is it as simple as that, Trent?
No. I don't think so. Okay. I root for them. I was at one of their weddings this summer, so I have friends on that team. I love Joe Burrow. I love Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think this is going to be a team that contends every year. They play in a brutal division with some of the best coaches in football. I don't want to say luck. That'd be a terrible word. They were very fortunate to get to this game. They live by the hair of their chinny chin chin. I don't think they have enough sustainable star power outside the two big ones on offense. I do think the runner's pretty darn good. I believe consistency offensively is not through stars, it's through bigs. Their bigs just don't cut it, and it's not like you can just go find four new ones. I think this is going to be a team that next year really struggles to get back to the playoffs. They may, because the quarterback's so good. But I don't see this being a team that year in and year out, especially in that division, you just chalk them in like you do the Chiefs as a team that's going to contend for the AFC.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Damn, Trent. These people are in the they're in the football outhouse right now. They really feel it, right? And I'm walking out of that stadium. I was next to some guy. Just said to me, he goes, I can't believe this happened to my team in the Super Bowl again. He goes, I remember the last one. Now this happened again. I'm like, don't worry, you got Joe Burrow. But it's more than that.
It's way more than that. Do you think Baltimore's going to get worse or better? They're going to get better. Pittsburgh actually will be better without Ben. They're going to find a solution, a quarterback. Cleveland's hard-nosed, tough. Don't know if they're a dominant team, but they're tough. I mean, it's just a brutal division. And then you have Kansas City. They got by them once, but do you really – if they played that game 10 times, and every listener right now is a Bengals fan, how many times do you think the Chiefs win that game? I think they win it 8 or 9 out of 10. And the Chiefs are only going to get better. The Raiders, I think, are going to get better. I think there's a lot of teams in AFC that are more talented and are going to get better, and it's going to be tough sledding for the Bengals.
All right, and then last one, what about next for the Rams? You already heard going into the game that McVay's kicking tires on maybe media. He's getting married, and Aaron Donald said after the game the retirement rumors that Rodney Harrison put out there on NBC. He sidestepped them. He didn't say that's crazy. He literally said, I'm going to take some time here. What do you think about the Rams next?
I think the only choice is to wait and see. I mean, there's so many unknowns. I do think Stafford's going to have to take less money if they want to keep it together. I do think you're going to have some of your stars make selfish decisions economically if they want to keep it together. And I think that's step number one for Les Snead, is start having those meetings and figuring out the future. And then there's a real possibility that you may be in a rebuild mode. You know, that some of these stars move on, you open up cap space and you start rebuilding. But they knew that going into this thing, right? They mortgaged the farm to win this game. And in my opinion, that's enough. They did it.
I agree. They'll just look at their trophy, right? As everyone's on the clock on the Thursday night in Vegas, they'll just say, here's the trophy. The Malibu sunset is gleaming off my trophy, right? That's basically what they'll say.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Trent, thanks for the time. Look for my call as we get into the talent evaluation portion of the campaign, Beyond the X's and O's pod, and then, of course, everywhere on Twitter at Dilfer's Dimes. Thanks for the call, Trent. You're the best, man.
Looking forward to it, pal. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl champion, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, the wildest story of Super Bowl week that got even wilder before the Super Bowl that had nothing to do with the Super Bowl. That's Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on Peacock Sirius XM, let's go to the phone lines. Aaron in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, you're on the program. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Rich. Hey, guys. Been a while. It's the Eat My Sweatshirt guy from last draft.
Hey, what's going on? And if I'm not mistaken, you drive a truck, correct?
Yep.
Yep, I do. I deliver. I deliver food for Eat Street in Wisconsin.
Are you doing such a job right now as we talk?
I am. Yes.
Very good. is it a sweaty day where you are? Because if you're going to okay, very good. And if I'm not mistaken, I did not consume anything of your clothing.
You did not. You're a much smarter man than I am, Rich.
Okay. What was this about again? I forgot what this was over again. Actually, what was it about?
Last year I was saying that. The Niners would not take Trey Lance. They would take Kyle Pitts.
And I said they would. I would eat a sweatshirt. There you go. And they actually made. And who do they actually select? Well, we already know. All right. I don't mean to. I shouldn't spike the football on you, sir. So what's on your mind?
So I have another far-fetched conspiracy theory here.
Okay.
So the blueprint for the last 2 years has been go out and upgrade a quarterback and sign some other free agents and then win the Super Bowl in your own stadium. And so seeing as Kyler Murray has scrubbed his social media and at the same time that Aaron Rodgers was in Scottsdale playing a golf tournament, I think that the Packers may tag Devontae Adams and trade Rodgers and Devontae for Kyler and a bunch of picks. And then Arizona wins the Super Bowl with Rodgers and Devontae and DeAndre Hopkins and all those guys.
How about that?
You know what? I can't say never say never, but never. I can't go Tomlin. I'll go Brady. I'll just say the never say never at this point. That's a highly unlikely scenario because Rodgers and the Cardinals would have to, strike a deal with the Packers for that to happen. I don't think the Packers in any way, shape, or form, if Rodgers does decide that he wants to go, that they'll tell Aaron choose a spot in the AFC. Okay,
you're right. As a Packer fan, I am guessing and hoping that they are going to sign Rodgers and Adams. But I was like, well, that's not fun for talk radio. So
appreciate. Well, I did see Devontae Adams the other night at a Courtyard event. He seemed very happy. And chill, That's the only way to put it. I didn't mention Aaron Rodgers to him, but he did seem to be a very, very happy camper. Very upset about missing the Super Bowl. Thank you for the call. He did say at one point, man, we beat both these teams. That's what he said. They did indeed, by the way. Handily, they beat the Rams. The Bengals, they had to go to overtime to win. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just a great chat in our previous moments ago with our friend Aaron from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, who once called up and said he would that the Niners would take Kyle Pitts over a quarterback, and they I said I would eat one of his I would consume a sweatshirt that he was driving around his truck in. I didn't consume a darn thing.
It wasn't just a sweatshirt. It was like he'd been sweating in it. It was 10, 12, 15 hours.
I put a lot on the line.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it would be possible. So every Super Bowl week, we come out of it just thinking about the whole week together, right? And the hype for one team usually goes through the roof. And when that team that does get the hype most loses, and we just drop them like a hot potato, like, say, the Cincinnati Bengals. That's basically what happens when you lose a Super Bowl. Then you go back throughout the week, and you're like, yeah, we did talk a lot about that. And you assess a lot of things that did happen. And then there's usually one story that stands out and say, what the hell was that all about? And sometimes that story keeps going on and on and on. And it appears we have this year's candidate for that. It was 1 week ago at this moment, I think. Dan Patrick was on the set at this very moment. 1 week ago at this very moment. When you're like, hey, Rich, something's going on with Kyler Murray's Instagram. And it was Kyler removing every photograph from his Instagram and the Cardinals from his bio and leaving up just two photographs, one of him with fellow Oklahoma Sooner CeeDee Lamb celebrating in a Pro Bowl, and then him as a college player. Everything else gone. And it was just like, what's up with that? What's up with that? And then it was just like, what's up with that? I mean, and it's just got to be about the money. It's got to be about money. He wants a new contract now. He doesn't want to wait another year. He wants it now. Because whenever, nature abhors a vacuum, so we fill it with what we think it is, and usually that vacuum's filled with money. And his agent says no comment when asked for comment, just lets the whole Instagram cleansing stand. you know, obviously the way that the seasons have ended have been terrible. They were the last remaining undefeated team this year. You know?
Yeah.
And they were two games up on the eventual Super Bowl champion Rams. And got absolutely smoked out of the playoffs by the Rams. It was an embarrassing performance. Embarrassing on every stretch. It was just not even close. That thing was a wrap from the moment Stafford and the Rams came out of the tunnel. And then the Cardinals Instagram tried to have some fun with it. Whichever millennial ran this one up the flagpole. Yeah, because this wasn't just done. Wasn't going rogue. This had to have been approved by somebody.
It was tremendous.
So the Cardinals then took everything off the page that they had and kept up the same Pro Bowl photograph that Murray had put up. Yeah. But instead of the shot of Murray as a Sooner, they replaced it with Murray as a Cardinal, smiling, you know, like, because he's draft one
night.
Of theirs.
That's draft night,
right? They have since put everything back.
Yeah, everything's back on the Cardinals Instagram.
And so, you know, you know, we even said that was what you said. TJ, you appreciated it for the trolling level, right?
Yeah, that was
and
great.
And I'm like, well, it's not just trolling level. It's kind of like wink and a nod. Everything's fine. You know, we
nothing
think you're
here.
Great. Nothing to see here. We're just having fun with it. And until somebody said something to Chris Mortensen that Chris decided to tweet because I'm sure it was told that it was accurate and he went ahead and did it. Chris Mortensen tweets out Super Bowl morning. The odd vibe between the Cardinals and Kyler Murray is indeed alarming. Murray is described as self-centered, immature, and finger pointer per sources. It's a hell of a per source. Murray is frustrated with franchise. It was embarrassed by playoff loss to Rams and thinks he's being framed as the scapegoat. Then in the thread, where's it headed? Despite the acrimony, the Cardinals expect things to calm down, and Murray is their QB. Select veterans hope to reach Murray on how he handle adversity better. Coach Cliff Kingsbury also is self-scouting where he can provide better alternatives for QB. Well, that's a hefty meal right there. And it led the Cardinals to put out a statement on Super Sunday. Nothing has changed regarding our opinion and high regard for Kyler Murray. We as a team and Kyler individually have improved each year he's been in the league. We are excited to continue that improvement in 2022 and are excited that Kyler Murray is the quarterback leading us. I've been around the block, this National Football League block. Let me tell you what, folks, I've covered 19 of these Super Bowls. 19 of them. Coming up on my 20th season. And I'll tell you what, this thing is far from over. If everybody there thinks they put this thing back in the bottle, you are mistaken. If Kyler Murray is indeed, as Chris Mortensen described, per sources telling Chris, that's got to come from within the house in Arizona. And Kyler Murray is sitting around thinking, who is talking to Chris Mortensen about that? Who is it? Who's looking at me saying I'm immature and a finger pointer? And I'll tell you what, sometimes Kyler comes off of the field after he's been sacked or he's been hit or he's thrown something incomplete because he's been rushed or he's rushed to throw. And his body language, I have to say, you know, on occasion, his body language makes Jay Cutler look like a happy camper. And he doesn't seem to hide it. So when you hear this sort of stuff, it kind of does actually fit what you see.
Sometimes.
It does fit what you see sometimes. But if I'm Kyler Murray, I'm like, who is saying that? Is it the coach? Is it the GM? Is it the owner? Who is that? Saying that veterans are trying to tell him how to better handle things? But the coach is self-scouting everybody. Coach is self-scouting to give him better options. Like who? DeAndre Hopkins? A.J. Green? Zach Ertz? James Conner? Those seem like Super Bowl-type options to me. And that might be the scapegoating he feels. So somebody is jibber jabbering. I told you. What did I tell you about this league?
Everybody
what have I
talks.
Told you? Everybody talks. And Chris Mortensen felt very, very safe and hit and send on that. This is so far from over. This is, mark my words, far from over. New league year a month from now, and this thing may go quiet and dark over the next 2-3 weeks. Don't buy it, folks. There's something up. Now, when it's all said and done, he does have contract years, and is he going to show up or not? Because the Cardinals will have the leverage. Just ask Aaron Rodgers who has leverage in these types of things and who then eventually shows up. So they're going to have to either show him the money or show him who's jibber-jabbering. They put this in the bottle shortly. Because this thing's going to keep going on in the meantime. Put up that tweet one more time. Just think about it. You're Kyler Murray, and you see on Super Sunday what's going on. And that means Mort went to somebody on his side. He's frustrated with the franchise. You should be embarrassed. That was an embarrassing loss. Thinks he's being framed as a scapegoat. I don't know. I'll be honest. Who was the scapegoat coming out of that? I think Kingsbury took it. He took the biggest broadside. People were wondering if he's going to even have a job. You came in here talking about a tweet, and you had all of the season long, I mean, a season in and out
of his college days
to the professional years, of the way that it's been a collapse one after the other after the other from midseason on. I thought Kingsbury took it in the chops. I didn't come out of that building thinking Kyler Murray stinks.
Well, he stunk on that game.
But he was pretty bad. Let me tell you something, in case anybody thinks I'm a Kyler hater, based on what I'm saying right here. That guy was running for his life from jump. And there was one part, one moment where Christian Kirk was free. And the fact that he almost hit him, I mean, it was an incredibly difficult throw because he's running to the right and Kirk is running from his right to the left across the hashes, and he damn near hit him. I mean, the fact that that ball was even launched in the air from that slight body, 50, 60 yards in the air, the guy has got a cannon arm. Cannon.
Does.
And he is fast and he is really good. So I don't think anybody came out of that thinking Kyler Murray's not very good. I think people came out and saying something's missing and the coach is not dialing it up right here. But for sure, if Kyler Murray is a guy who is now scrubbing his Instagram account and then he sees on Twitter people talking to Mort and saying this, but his body language does stink sometimes. And you know whose does it? The guy who just lost the Super Bowl. That guy, that first overall pick, doesn't seem to be finger pointing. He never comes off the field with bad body language or barking or anything. So maybe everybody does need to self-scout, go back to their corners, and then come back together because they are attached to the contractual hip unless somebody is going to demand out and make it uglier.